Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Have you ever noticed it's really weird when you that it hurts when you accidentally bite your tongue when you don't do it on purpose, but it does not hurt when you bite it on purpose? Have you ever noticed that? So if you bite your tongue on purpose, it doesn't hurt. But when you're chewing and you bite your tongue, you know what's even weirder is that you're all biting your tongue right now. I just don't understand the purpose of smooth objects. I mean, there's just no point, right? I promise all those jokes have to do with my sermon topic, so don't go out. All right. Well, last month was a powerful 4 weeks. We talked about breathing, right? Who is here for that? It was powerful. The entire message series is up on our website. It's also on Spotify, Apple Music. If you look at Thrive Church NY, you can get all the podcasts and the sermons. But also, the little disclaimer, please do not stop breathing in the month of May, even though we aren't talking about it anymore, right? But this month, we're going to get into talking about living on purpose, all right? So that's why those jokes are about purpose. So we're talking about living on purpose. I was having a discussion with my counselor this week, and we were talking about breath, and I was just letting her know what we had been talking about last month. And I said, you know, I've been praying into what we're going to talk about in May. And she was like, well, maybe you should talk about what you're putting your breath into. I was like, well, that'll preach. Maybe she should just come and be a speaker here, right? I was like, that's a very good point. She's like, if you don't talk about what you're putting your breath into, you're talking about air that's just floating out there. I was like, ooh. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about living on purpose, all right? How many know we're all on a journey of life, and either we're coasting to the end, we're on autopilot to the end, or we're intentional and we're living on purpose with Jesus. Amen? And there are really only two options, but how many have ever felt like you're just coasting, right? You're just kind of coasting through. It's either survival, you just have to coast through because you actually can't cope, or maybe you've kind of given up, or maybe it's like a really good, you're in a good place in life and you just want to keep on going in the good place, right? Oh, I needed a balloon. Where is my balloon? Oh, no. Oh, do you have a balloon? Oh, no. Grab me a balloon. All right. It won't be as profound now that I made a big deal out of it, but she'll get me a balloon. So,
everyone,
act surprised for the balloon, the big reveal. Do I have to keep talking? Yep. All right. It's going to take her a minute to find the balloon. Well, our key verse is, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a beautiful scripture. It's in Habakkuk 2:14, and it's actually really cool because a church down south has the same verse as their key verse this month. I did not plan that. I just found that out from my husband. So that's cool. So this must be what God is wanting to do right now. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Thank you. As the waters cover the sea. So if I, actually, Caleb, why don't you blow this up for me, because I get really dizzy and I don't want to pass out. That'd be bad. So come on up. How many know it is physically impossible for this balloon to not inflate when Caleb breathes into it? Can we all agree on that? It's just a scientific fact?
Well, wait a second.
Yay! All right, it worked, right? How many know the more he breathes into it, the more it's going to increase, right? Yay! All right. That's one of those shaped balloons. It's okay. You can sit down now. Can I have the balloon, though? Okay. It's kind of awkward.
You
it's like,
tie it?
Yeah, tie it up for me. Maybe. Maybe. How many love balloon animals? Anybody love balloon animals? Those things hurt your finger, though. Yep, let's just, This is why he's an ordained pastor, clearly, for his balloon skills. Yep, that analogy died with the balloon. That's okay. All right.
Well, it's not tied.
It's not tied? Okay. Here we go, the balloon. So it's physically impossible for this balloon to not inflate when we breathe into it, right? it is spiritually impossible for our life not to be filled with purpose when God breathes into it. And some of us think that we've got God's breath, we've got God inside of us, but we have no purpose. But it's actually spiritually impossible. Just like this balloon has to inflate, our life will be filled with purpose as God breathes into it. And it's just a matter of us discovering what that is for us. And so this month we're going to, oh, thank God, I thought I was going to whistle. There you go. This month we're going to look at what purpose is and how do we actually live on purpose. So again, our verse is, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So if you're into prayer and worship, or maybe you've been part of a charismatic church for a while, how many think of glory filling the earth as like the cosmos, and you've got rainstorms? Who know the worship songs? Like, come, I've got a song that's about to come out. It's called Come Like a Fire, right? Come like a fire, come like the rain, right? How about oceans? You take me out upon the waters, right? Or how about, what are some other songs? They're all about like rainstorms, fire, right? There's no snowstorms. I'm waiting for that one to hit FLN. Apparently not yet, right? But it's all these metaphors of nature, right? And it's kind of abstract. Isn't it a little bit abstract? Have you ever thought like, but what does that actually mean for me? What does a rainstorm mean for me in my life? I think it would be much less lyrical, right? The lyrics would kind of not make the top 10 on FLN, but it would be like God's breath filling me like car solutions for mechanics, or favor and strategy for lawyers, or generational blessing for mom and dads. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it. If I was going to try and rewrite Oceans to be like, you give me strategy for my car, right? But that's actually what happens when the breath of God fills us. We get inflated with purpose, and God's a practical God. He's not just an abstract nature metaphor God about rainstorms and fire. And if you're a really practical person, you may have walked away from the church for a time because you're like, what in the world are they talking about, right? All the worship is about all these nature things. And we all know that's metaphor, but I think it really helps us to get practical. Remember, I said this last week, Holy Spirit is not an object. Holy Spirit is not male or female, right? Holy Spirit is God. He's not mystical power. He's not a good or positive vibe. He's not a denomination. He's not a music genre. He's not preaching style. He's not a rainstorm. He's not a wildfire. And he is not an actual dove, right? And when we put Holy Spirit in those categories, we actually disconnect from him because he seems impractical. When I go to my 9-to-5, how am I supposed to connect with a rainstorm? What does that mean, right? Unless you're the weatherman, right? And God is a practical God. And so when we're talking about life purpose, it's important to remember that. Remember, Holy Spirit is a third of the Godhead. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. He can be grieved. He comforts and encourages and he teaches. And I've got all the references there, but I said them all last week. Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth, he's talking to Father God, by completing, everyone say completing, completing the work you gave me to do. So it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the assignment. So the response to our key verse is actually us completing our purpose. Who wants to get to the end of your life, whenever that is, and say, I completed my purpose? Wouldn't that just be fantastic, right? And you know, not all of us will know if we completed it, but it's our heart and listening to God and obeying him is what brings us along that journey, right? Air on its own is necessary, but air in our lungs, it is what actually gives life. Right? And so my question to you and the question for this entire month is, what is God's air filling in your life? It's not just Holy Spirit abstract. What is God's air filling in your life? So the word purpose is defined as the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. But I think we can all agree that Jesus is really the one that was living on purpose the most in all of humanity, right? So I want to change our definition of purpose for this month. And purpose is going to mean being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. All right? How many have ever got stuck trying to figure out your life purpose, right? It's a terrifying place to be. You can spiral. I've told Brian this year, I was like, I'm having a midlife crisis and I hope it's not my midlife, right? Because any age though, have you ever had a I've seen 10-year-olds having midlife crisis and I'm like, what's going on here, right? Or you can have it when you're 70 or whatever. And it's because the reason for which something is existing, that's a really big deal. And that can paralyze us. So I don't want us to get stuck there this month. Instead, I want us to get stuck. If we're going to get stuck anywhere, let's get stuck thinking about what does it mean to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. All right? So just keep that in mind as we're talking about purpose. But today we're going to just kind of ease our way into this month. We're going to get very practical about talking about life purpose and what that looks like. Next Sunday will be especially for the women, whether you're a physical mom, a spiritual mom, a mentor to some, whatever age you are. But men, please come next Sunday because we need to honor the women. And if the women are just honoring each other, it just doesn't quite have the same effect. All right. So men, please show up for Mother's Day as well. But today we're going to start by talking about what does purpose equal? All right. What is purpose equal to you? Because how you define that will define how you spend your life, who you spend it with, and the legacy you leave. All right. So number one, everyone say number one, purpose equals peace. Now, some of you, when I said we're talking about living on purpose, got really scared about the next 3 weeks and were coming up with excuses why you couldn't show up for the next 3 Sundays. And the reason is because that word purpose freaks you out, because purpose does not equal peace. How many have ever been trying to think about what your purpose is and you had zero peace, in fact, right? Purpose equals no peace. That's actually the normal. And so I want to go over some lies that we can believe. Purpose equals pressure. Anyone ever felt that? To meet that milestone, to meet that success, to meet that peer pressure point, right? That need to impress others. Purpose equals pressure. Sometimes purpose equals grief. Anyone ever been there? You feel like you've missed your chance at having purpose. Maybe you're too old. And I've seen people that are very young think they're too old. So it has nothing to do with your actual age. But purpose equals grief. For some of us, purpose equals self-condemnation because you feel you're not good enough or can measure up to any purpose or to the purpose that you secretly really wish you had, right? And for some of us, purpose equals obligation. It is just one more thing to think about and be overwhelmed by. And if you thought purpose equals any of that, you might be the one that's trying to skip out the next 3 Sundays. But I encourage you, don't let that stop you, because that's not what purpose equals. And in fact, that's one of the greatest lies that we could ever believe that could hold back us individually and us as a church and us as a church in the entire world, is if the enemy can get us to think that purpose equals pressure or self-condemnation or obligation, we might just miss out on the actual purpose that Jesus died to give us, right? There is a war over our purpose. So this is very important. I love this verse that Jesus said in John 20, 21. Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So God's peace goes with his purpose. He said, peace be with you, and I'm giving you purpose, I'm sending you out. Right? We believe that we're an apostolic church, and you might be confused by what that word means. It's not some religious term. We're not trying to get all heady, but the word apostle means sent or messenger. So we believe that Jesus has sent each one of us as messengers. We're actually sent on assignment, whatever your assignment is right now. It could be at home, it could be at work, it could be at school, whatever your place of influence is. But where he sends you, he also gives you peace. Isn't that good news? It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's in Romans 14. But then over in Matthew 6, it also says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we're called in all things to seek his kingdom first. And then we get 1/3 of the kingdom, which is God's peace. If you were here for a few months, you heard my sermon on the other 1/3 of the kingdom, which was his joy, right? That was a great Sunday because we had a comedian afterwards. So that was a good day to preach on joy. But today, that other 1/3 is actually his peace. How many have ever been like somebody stole my peace today. Have you ever had that? Like, I don't know. That's like a catchphrase. It kind of was almost like put it on a bumper sticker, like don't steal my peace. But how many know Jesus died and gave you something that is actually really not supposed to ever be able to be stolen, right? And when we're walking in the purpose that God died to give us, there's a peace that comes with that. Have you ever been in a place and you're like, I just don't have any peace. I think I need to say no to that person, actually, not yes. Have you ever been there? I've been there. And it's actually a horrible place to be because the unrest, if you're sensitized to the Holy Spirit, you can feel really not peaceful until you actually do what God is telling you to do. And then suddenly it's like you turn the page and there's just peace. Has anyone had that as a testimony? It's really powerful. If you haven't, I encourage you to follow your peace. It's not follow your safe place, like I'm going to protect myself. It's follow God's peace, which is far greater. Sometimes it actually looks like greater risk, right? But his peace is there. So the question is, what does purpose equal to you? Right? What does purpose equal to you? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I love this scripture in Matthew 3:16-17. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So what I have found personally is if I am trying to find my purpose in order to please God, I have no peace. But when I'm living from an affirmation of who I am in Christ, that's when I find peace in my purpose. Are you following this morning? Feels a little bit heavy in here. Are we all right? Okay, just stay with me here. We're going somewhere. Are you fighting God's truth over your identity with the enemy's lies? Or are you fighting the enemy's lies with God's truth over your identity? Some of us are going to spiritual war and we're like, I'm in spiritual warfare. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Because what you're actually doing is you're taking God's truth and you're fighting it with what the enemy's saying instead of doing the opposite, right? Are you fighting the enemy's lies with God's truth? You following? It's a little subtle detail, but sometimes we feel like we're going to spiritual warfare and we're just getting really confused because what we need to do is actually speak God's truth over ourselves instead of being defensive about trying to prove why we're right, why our lie is true to God, instead of receiving and believing what God is saying. If you're constantly trying to prove your worth, you'll never have peace. And instead, you're going to have dissatisfaction, you're going to have exhaustion, you're going to have confusion. How many know these are not fruits of the Spirit? Come on. Right? But sometimes I think we think they are. It's like, and the fruit of the Spirit is exhaustion and confusion. No. In fact, if you're experiencing that, it's a time to check your heart and say, wait a minute, I think I need to stop and receive breath again into me, right? Not just breath out here, not just worshiping in metaphors, but actually getting practical with God and receiving it in our daily lives. Amen? So the question here is, what area of your life is lacking peace? And what would it actually look like to live with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did in that area? All right? Because you'll find purpose when you start doing that. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. You may fear that the Lord has passed you by, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as if you were the only creature he ever made or the only saint he ever loved. Approach him and be at peace. Isn't that powerful? God has peace for you today, but it's important for us to realize where we're lacking peace and not just muscle through it, but actually stop and say, wait a minute, am I being with Jesus? Am I doing what Jesus did? And am I being like Jesus in this area of my life, right? Number two is purpose equals persistence. How many have ever felt like just too many things have gone wrong and you've worked too hard at trying to make your purpose happen that you're just tired. You're just kind of like, I just want to give up, right? Well, I wrote down here that purpose, God's purpose has a two-factor authentication. Who thinks those are just the most horrible things when you're logging in and then you have to download the authentication code? Anybody? Is that just me? It's so annoying, right? You have to do these two-factor authentication. But God's purpose requires a two-factor authentication. Number one is the God factor. Everyone say God factor. This is very important. God factor. This is the truth. God is more persistent with your purpose than you are. And if you think he isn't, you're actually putting more faith in your ability than God's ability, which is actually called idolatry, and it's one of the Ten Commandments. We like to say idolatry is like the, you know, a Buddha or, I don't know, some idol, right? And when really you could just go in the bathroom, look in the mirror, and you're looking at it right there. Because when we don't believe that God is bigger than what we're going through, when we don't believe that God is more persistent than we are, we're actually putting more faith in who we are than who God is. That's a very dangerous place for us to be, right? God's purpose is persistent. How about King David, right? Anointed for king when his brothers were way more eligible. How about Esther, orphan turned to queen, turned to deliverer of a nation? Ruth, she was a widower, and then she was a field worker, and then she turned to owning the fields with her husband, right? How about that? Persistent. God is persistent. How about Joseph, sold into slavery, and then he fed a nation? Isn't that incredible? How about Paul, from persecuting Christians to one of the most influential leaders of the church? I wonder what would happen if that happened today, right? Get our judgment hats. We'd have to leave them at the altar, finally, right? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And I love this because I was talking to my mentor about church vision and church purpose. And he said, well, your church purpose needs to last like two generations. It's too small if I can fulfill it. It's too small if Haley can fulfill it. It has to be fulfilled by Haley's kids. Right? Don't tell her I said that, right? Figure out. But the point is that God's purpose is so much greater than just one life. And that's why God is more persistent than we could ever be. I love this Hebrews 11. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died, and they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. I love this because I've had a lot of, I dream a lot, and I had a dream once that Steve Crawford, who used to be an elder in our church, he's the reason we have a playground and a reason we have a very heavy cross on the stage that is immovable. He's an incredible man of God, and I had a dream once that he was sitting right on Pedro's Row there, and he was just sitting there during a church service, and I woke up and I thought, well, is that creepy or is that good? And then I realized he's one of the saints cheering us on. I'm not saying he's sitting here. Please don't leave the church. It's not a I'm not getting weird on anybody. But it says that these people did not receive the things promised. How many know, for example, with Steve, when he was an elder here, I know the prayers that he prayed. And I know we're sitting here because he prayed them, even though he's no longer with us, right? There are prayers, there are promises that have even been spoken over our lives, and we're like, is this ever going to happen? Well, we are thinking way too small. The promises you're praying, you might not even see, because it says here in Hebrews 11, these people didn't see the fulfillment, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to have self-pity on ourselves or give up. In fact, that means we're supposed to partner with God ever more, because it might be a generation out, but that generation will be eternally grateful for what we did here in this place. Amen? God is more persistent than you are. But there's also a human factor. There is a yes of surrender. There is a yes that says, I believe in you more than I believe in me. And I think that's a very radical thing to say in our day and age. I believe in you more than I believe in me, right? But if you look, Noah said yes, Joseph said yes, Rahab said yes, David said yes, Esther said yes, Daniel said yes, the disciples said yes. And I'm running out of time, so I won't get into all the yeses they said. But let's just say that when they said yes, it did not make a lot of sense for why they should be saying yes, right? And every single one of those, their yeses weren't just for them, but it was for the generations beyond them. God is persistent more than we are because it's not just about you and me. It's about the generations that are going to be saved because what we're doing here in this place now, right? That's why it's so powerful when we invite someone to church. We're not just inviting someone like Sam. I'll say Sam. I'm not just inviting Sam. I'm actually saying, hey, Sam, why don't you come with me to Thrive? Because you were born to thrive. And you know what? Five generations down from there, that blessing is still going to be happening, right? God is a generational God. So the question here is, where have I put more faith in myself than in God? And you'll know that probably because it's the same place you don't have peace. Just a little sneak peek right there. But you may need to do a Bible study here to then be like, but what would it look like for me to be with Jesus, like Jesus, and do what Jesus did in that place instead of believing in myself? Are you following with me? So we're almost done here. The last thing is purpose. So we had purpose equals peace. Purpose equals persistence. And the last one is purpose equals every place. I never do three P's, but today I just felt like I was going to do the alphabet. So it's all P's. Purpose, every place. For some of you, you've heard my song Awake Now, which says, everywhere I go, heaven breaks out. Everywhere I go, your love is all around, right? I was actually hoping we'll do that maybe sometime this month. I'm awake now. I love this Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not day to you. Excuse me, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So I was thinking about this because if we think of purpose and if we go abstract, like who wanted to like change the world when you were young, right? Like, let's change the world. And then by the time you hit a certain age, you're like, wow, the world really actually ended up changing me, right? Kind of gets flipped on its head a little bit. I wanted to talk about our place of influence. And last year, I preached a sermon called The 9-to-5 Gospel, and I cut and pasted some of it back into here, and then I was like, oh, I don't have time to go back there, but I think it's online. It's called The 9-to-5 Gospel because we're a church that believes that you are sent. We are sent to our area of influences. So it might be your home, it might be your job, your school, but we're all sent to be influencers, in Tompkins and Cortland County, right? And then if you think in a broader way, our nation is an influence in the world, right? Like other nations are. If God's purpose prevailed in the grave, how are we saying that God's purpose can't prevail here in our places of influence? Contrary to popular belief, your place of influence does not have more death in it than the grave. I want to say that again. If God's purpose prevailed in the grave, who am I to say that it cannot prevail here? Contrary to popular belief, your place of influence is not more death-filled than the grave. How many have just been like, if you don't know my workplace, right? You get into it. Or if you're a guy, maybe you're just like, I'm not talking about it. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to clock out. Or maybe the roles are reversible, but I don't know, everybody's different, right? But the point is, we like to think that our area of influence, whether it's your home, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your workplace, your school, your class, your community, our region, has more death in it than the grave. And that's, when we believe that, it's like we're putting Jesus back on the cross. When Jesus said, I conquered the grave, what are you doing, right? And so Romans 6 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. He will give life to your workplaces, to your homes. He will give life to your schools by the same Spirit living within you, right? Who is where you thought you would be with who you thought you'd be with? And doing what you thought you would do today. Anybody? Fantastic. So we can get rid of that lie, right? Maybe some of us are in like little sliver form, but I know I had some different ideas. I thought I'd be in another country, right? Instead, my brother-in-law moved to another country and left me here. I was like, right, we got our callings swapped, and I didn't sign up for that. But instead, I'm actually fulfilling God's purpose in a way that I never imagined, right? But one of the biggest stealers, and I'm ending on this point, is the lie of dissatisfaction. It is one of the greatest thieves to purpose. If you believe that you are entitled to more than you have, or if you believe that the place you're at now isn't meaningful or isn't fulfilling, you will never embrace your current assignment. If you think you need a new car or a new hair product or a new raise or a new tool or a new TV show or a new gadget or a new kid, right? Or how about a new job or how about greater impact? We will never be faithful with what God has given us today. And it's the message that the world has on loudspeakers, right, on surround sound, is that you cannot be satisfied with where you're at. But Jesus says there is more, but because there is more, you can be satisfied. Whereas the world says because there is more, you cannot be satisfied. Do you get it? And it's so important because if we get into the lie of dissatisfaction, we will ignore the current assignments that are before us. So why don't you stand up on your feet here as we close out here. Jesus was on his way to the cross and he was on his way to the empty tomb, but he didn't skip ahead, right? How many know if you were Jesus and you had to die on a cross and get resurrected, I would have liked to have just flipped to the end of Matthew, right after the manger, right? But instead, Jesus was faithful with the current assignment in front of him. He stopped for the one. He was a carpenter. He held a 9-to-5. Then he stopped for the one. Then he was crucified. Then he rose again. Then he ascended. And some of us with our life purpose, we've been trying to skip ahead when God is saying, I'm calling you to be faithful in the current assignment. Whether that's being a husband or a wife, whether that's single, whether that's a mother or a father, whether that's an employee, whether that's a boss, whether that's a sibling or a friend, whatever that is, God is saying, don't reject the current assignment that you're on. There is purpose to be like Jesus, be with Jesus, and do what Jesus did. If more of the church just did those three things in their current assignment, I don't think the world would recognize itself because the church would be so impactful. They would be so sent out. They'd be so apostolic that everything would be getting transformed, right? But we're not failing, but there is more for us to recognize what God is doing so that we can actually say yes to the current assignment, right? We need to say yes to that. So this month, I want us to just become more aware and less on autopilot and say, God, what are you breathing into in my life? What is my current assignment? It doesn't matter if you think it's big or you think it's small. It's important because it's going to reach the generations because we're being like Jesus. What is it? Being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did, whether it's your 9-to-5 at home or at school, right? So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that we get to live on purpose. And Father, we repent for any time that we've switched on autopilot or we've believed the lie that purpose equals pressure or purpose equals grief or purpose equals self-condemnation or purpose equals obligation. And God, for some of us, we're still intimidated even thinking about the word purpose. So God, right now, I thank you for redefining that word for us. Some of us grew up with a model of what purpose is in life that is dysfunctional. And that can turn into workaholism or escapism or whatever it is. And whatever model we grew up with looking at what life purpose is, God, we give that to you this month. And we say, would you redefine what life purpose is so we can live on purpose? God, that we can live with peace. We can live in your persistence over us, your pursuit over our lives. And we can live on our current assignment. We do not reject our current assignment, God. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So get ready to get practical this month, but your homework is think about those questions. I hope you're taking notes when I say those questions. Otherwise, it was a lot of questions. But where are you missing peace? Where have you put more faith in yourself? And where do you need to say, you know what? I've been rejecting my current assignment. I need to say yes to it. What would that look like to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.